An economic slowdown translated into Chinese.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. We're going to get a take on the global perspective now, what's happening in business and economics around the world, and how it affects us here in the United States. New numbers this morning from China, where the country estimated its economic growth rate at 10.3%. Now, to show you how fast the Chinese economy is growing, that means its GDP is actually down 1.5% from the first 3 months of the year. From Shanghai, here's Marketplace's Rob Schmitz.
Most countries would be full of glee if their economies were growing at a rate of more than 10%, but not China.
Is this a prelude to soft landing, or is it the risk of hard landing has increased?
Tao Wang is the head of economic research in China for the bank UBS. Like many economists, she's been a little worried about the breakneck speed of economic growth here last year. An overheated Chinese economy could short-circuit the already frazzled global recovery, possibly sending the U.S. and other countries back into recession. Here in China, many in the growing consumer class were also biting their nails. They were nervous they had bought into a property bubble. Today's lackluster numbers, yes, 10.3% passes for lackluster in China, should help ease some of these concerns. It's becoming clear that government policies that tighten credit have helped cool down this overheated economy. Tao predicts China's GDP growth to be down to a measly 8% by the end of the year. That would constitute a soft landing for the economy, and it might also help economists unwind a little. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Investment banks, including many in Europe, are returning to the mortgage-backed security business. Probably wouldn't be such a big deal had many of those same securities not almost ruined the financial system. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live from London with that story. Good morning, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
So forgive me for being a doubting Thomas here, but I can't help but feel a little scared. I mean, what's going on?
Yes, the nightmare returns. You can almost hear the coffin lid creaking open, can't you? Yeah, the signs are that investment banks are once again hiring people to trade in these packages of loans, mortgage-backed securities. And some of the banks who are hiring were among the hardest hit in the subprime crisis, UBS, Royal Bank of Scotland and BNP Paribas.
And haven't they learned their lesson, Stephen? I mean, why are they doing this?
Well, there is a shortage of securities for banks and other investors to invest in. Stock markets are looking pretty dodgy, very erratic at the moment, and European government bonds don't look too hot. So investors need something to invest in. And moving back into mortgage-backed securities may not be as scary as it sounds. The US housing market is nothing like as frothy as it once was. And these mortgages are backed by Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae. Nevertheless, independent bank analyst Michael Prest says we should be wary. We're in a period of very low interest rates right now, and we know the trouble that caused the last time around.
If you get low interest rates fueling a rather sort of insubstantial but very frothy real estate boom, and it's going to be very hard for some of these banks to resist the temptation to reverting to the bad old ways.
But the general thinking seems to be the banks have learned a very bitter lesson. They're on their guard. And for investors, there's the old adage, the safest time to fly is usually directly after a monumental air crash. So maybe mortgage-backed securities will be safer this time.
And indeed was monumental. All right, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reporting from London. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
Let's check the numbers. European stocks are mostly higher at the moment. The FTSE pretty much flat, up about 0.01%. The DAX up about 0.3%, and the Paris shares are up about 0.25% as well. Asian markets closed mixed today. Wall Street yesterday, the S&P was flat. NASDAQ continued its winning streak, up 0.33%. The Dow nudged slightly higher, up 4 points to close at 10,366.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Vanguard, a client-owned company where the clients own the funds and the funds own the company. Learn more at Vanguard.com. By Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. And by MassMutual, a mutual life insurance company owned by its members and policyholders. Learn more at MassMutual.com/mutuality.
J.P. Morgan Chase Bank reports its earnings today. Tomorrow, it's Citigroup and Bank of America. The big financials were making loads of money earlier this year on trading in the markets, and even though the Dow has slumped since then, most banks are still expected to be in the black, unlike 1 year ago. Here's Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman.
It was a little over a year ago that the Treasury's stress tests found 10 of the 19 biggest U.S. banks likely couldn't weather a severe recession.
What we had a year or more ago was a panic, a full-scale panic.
Stuart Greenbaum is professor emeritus at the Washington University Business School.
We're not in that kind of an environment right now.
Greenbaum says back then, banks were weighed down with lots of bad home loans. The economy was shedding 500,000 jobs a month. Now, foreclosures have peaked, loan losses are less scary, and profits are improving.
Our corporations, many of them are doing reasonably well, and the banks are gradually being restored. They're euphoric.
But would they be so euphoric if we stress-tested them again? I put the question to Eric Oja, a bank analyst at Standard & Poor's.
If the stress tests were given right now, I think that they would do a little bit better.
Oja says that's pretty good, considering unemployment actually shot much higher than the stress tests assumed. And Oja says banks did what the government told them, raised lots of cash. But if they're so flush, shouldn't they be lending some of that money back out? Washington University's Stuart Greenbaum says not really.
You know, they're criticized for not making more loans. They're happy to lend to small businesses if the quality of the loan applications are there.
The way he and the banks see it, they're probably better off sitting on their money than making risky loans in a bad economy. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And finally, in the lobby of Chicago's John Hancock Tower, there's an ad for the 94th floor observatory. It beckons people up to dine at the Windy City's highest cafe and bar. But one floor above that, people can dine and drink in the Signature Room, a restaurant and lounge. The manager of the observatory told the Chicago Tribune, there's nothing misleading about the ad. Everyone knows there's a difference between cafe and bar and restaurant and lounge. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.